Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 191. I am joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
By Sam.
You have filled the city.
And by James.
I really liked Persona 4.
Me too.
Okay. I was going to say, without Justin, we're a group of first names that have one syllable. So there you go. So yes, this
always
week,
wanted to be one syllable. Sorry.
This week. We also, I think, except for James, are all a group of first names as well, but neither here nor there.
Oh, that's true.
I have two first names, accurate.
Yes, so does Justin. We've had this discussion before.
Yeah, we have.
I just feel terrible. I think this is like the third time we're postponing our Jim Carrey podcast. But, you know, sometimes things just kind of line up in your lap and you want to run with it, and this week was one of those weeks. It's Wednesday. Had a quote-unquote holiday on Monday, and somehow there's been a ton of big comic book movie news over the past 24, 48 hours. DC announced 10 movies over the next 6 years. Marvel announced, or is rumored to be announcing, a major plot point for Phase 3. And you know, casting news. So I think we'll kick it off with the one that's kind of the oldest and the one that's kind of just a really bad joke at this point, the Doctor Strange casting.
It remains everyone now, because Joaquin Phoenix, I guess, officially confirmed that their negotiations had ended, so he will now not in fact be playing Doctor Strange like most people thought.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've been negotiating with him since before San Diego Comic-Con this past summer, and that has been a very on-again, off-again relationship as far as courting him, and it seems like that's officially off the table. So in place of that, they pretty much have everybody on their radar to play this role, apparently. The most recent one I saw was Ryan Gosling.
I have not seen him on there yet.
Oh, he was on, there was an article just maybe 2 hours ago.
Yeah, so I've been going all day. I don't really know if you want to recap what you're talking about for me for 2 seconds.
Well, we just did.
Okay. I just mean, DC announced some. I guess we'll get into it later. Never mind. I gotcha.
And then
I see what you're reading now.
I think that Ryan Gosling was one. Ewan McGregor was one.
That'd be interesting.
I've seen Ethan Hawke thrown out a bunch as well.
Ethan Hawke was one. I think Ethan Hawke was also one during the phase with San Diego, because, again, it's been back and forth with Phoenix. So there's been people who popped in and out as well. I think I saw something where it's narrowed down to like 10 people. I've heard rumors. I don't know if it's rumor or fan casting of Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually I
anybody
would
anybody fan cast Keanu Reeves?
I think he would make a pretty
I think
it's strange.
I'm guessing it probably started from like the John Wick promotional stuff. Someone probably made the obligatory ask about superhero roles, and then that sort of spun off more from there.
There's talks of Jared Leto. It's pretty much anybody who's an actor in Hollywood has been linked to Doctor Strange this past week.
He's sort of like the Ant-Man director of actors. We'll find the right one eventually.
Well, it's not necessarily the right one, but we'll put it in production at some point. I mean, that's pretty much what happened with Ant-Man.
They're basically like, all right, we have to get someone. And then they ultimately did get someone who, if they had started out with that one in the first place, everyone would have been really excited. Since it was just their, oh crap, we chased away our awesome auteur, we gotta find a substitute, who wants the job? And then it's just everyone staring there awkwardly, like, not really.
Yes. This is an ever-evolving story. It's fun to watch. I'm sure, Marvel hasn't done a terrible job at casting any of their roles so far, so I assume they'll get a pretty decent actor for it. It's just been a really, really funny running gag for the past 3.5 months. I guess on that same note, earlier this week it came out that it's like Marvel is trying to negotiate with Robert Downey Jr. to have a role in Captain America 3 that would lead into the Marvel Event Civil War.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Oh, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I hate Civil War.
I'm not a huge fan
either,
but...
Civil War is an awesome idea for a story. Unfortunately, it was written by Mark Miller.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's an awesome idea until you realize... And this is a problem I have with a lot of comic books that have this conceit of heroes versus heroes, is you can never really paint one side as a bad guy. So they painted themselves into a corner, then they shot Captain America in the head. And that was pretty much their resolution for that. And my biggest beef with it right now is I don't know what the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Civil War would be.
Yeah, because of course, like, for those who didn't know, the original Civil War storyline was about a superhero registration act going through. But since currently, I don't think any of the Avengers have their identities as privately known. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone knows the true identity of every Avenger. That doesn't really apply here. So it would have to be some kind of other storyline that would force Iron Man and Captain America to be in conflict.
Yeah, and the other one I was thinking of is, like, you know, one's pro-government, one's anti-government, but they both hate the government. Like, Iron Man established that with Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, and kind of the Avengers. He doesn't trust S.H.I.E.L.D., he doesn't trust Fury. And Captain America, that was the whole conceit of Captain America 2, is how corrupt the establishment can be. So I don't know... Like, there can be some huge character retcon or some big event Avengers 2 that might lead to, but right now it's like, I don't know what they're necessarily opposed to. And I think, Civil War is exciting for people because Civil War is a popular comic book that came out recently, but I also don't necessarily get the big purpose of Iron Man and Captain America because we've seen it. We've seen the Avengers. We'll see the Avengers 2 before then. It's not like it's new ground. We've seen these characters team up. We've seen them fight and bicker. So it's like we've been here already.
Yeah. True that, yo.
I guess to add to that rumor, and, you know, this is kind of, I always love when rumors come out and everybody else has, like, their source that tells them more stuff. Or, oh, we heard something like this a few weeks ago and we're running with it now. But I guess the purpose is at the end of Captain America, there's going to be, like, a Captain America Avengers and an Iron Man Avengers team. And Avengers, I think, 3 would kind of focus on Cap's team, which is, like, I think they said Black Widow,
Falcon, War Machine and Falcon.
War Machine.
And then, like, and then the other twins.
Yeah.
So Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
And then, like, Avengers 3 wouldn't have, like, Iron Man and Thor and Hulk and stuff like that. Which would make sense, especially when you factor in Robert Downey Jr. has a really nice contract.
Yeah,
that,
like,
it gives him a wage.
Like, the negotiations that they need to renegotiate in order to get him into Cap 3 is because the only ones he's got left are Age of Ultron and whatever the third Avengers is. And considering they paid him, I think, something like $50 million for the first Avengers, it's getting to the point where they can't really afford to keep putting him in every time.
Yeah. And, I mean, as Guardians of the Galaxy proved, I think, you know, at this point, the Marvel brand is just as strong as any individual actor or property. So they don't necessarily need Iron Man to anchor a third Avengers film.
It's true, but it would probably be nice, as evidenced by the fact that they're just taking the two most popular ones and just splitting them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on that note, and I don't necessarily want to spend too much time on this because I don't necessarily know how much truth there is to it, but there's been that constant back and forth on the possibility of Spider-Man entering the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my guess is that any of the possible rumors could be true because Sony has no idea right now. And I'm not talking about movie quality-wise, just business-wise, they're not really certain what to do. Because, yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2 did not do nearly as well as they hoped commercially.
Did it not? I never saw anything on it.
Well, not as well as they wanted it to.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Spider-Man
2. I know a lot of people.
The budget for the movie was, like, really, really high combined with the marketing. I think it had to make, like, $750 million in order to break even. And I don't think it got there, so...
I think it got it's about 730, 740 worldwide. I think the biggest problem for them, you know, aside from that, is the fact that every Spider-Man film has grossed less than the previous one. And that's not necessarily a trend you want to see.
I didn't know that.
Especially, especially being that, you know, you have Iron Man and Batman and Avengers breaking $1 billion, and Spider-Man is probably the number three superhero, and you aren't going up in revenue.
Yeah, I mean, when your movie is knocked down in the U.S. box office in its second weekend by the $20 million Seth Rogen comedy, you know you have some kind of at least brand management problem to figure out.
Yeah, so, and the other thing, and I think the biggest problem here, really, is that I guess at some point, I don't know when exactly, Sony signed some deal with Disney that in order for them to continue making Spider-Man films, they would give up all the merchandising fees. Mm-hmm. So they don't make any money off the back end. The only money they make from Spider-Man brand is through the movies. So
that's got to be a big bite then.
Yeah,
I don't know why they would give that up, honestly.
Why not
just
give up the whole Spider-Man at that point, it feels like?
I know they are hurting for money at the moment, but I think the problem is,
yeah,
A, it is theoretically a long-term moneymaker, and B, they don't want to have to swallow their pride to be the ones who sold back Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if they are stretched, they are in desperate need of cash, but like you said, I think it's one of those short-term versus long-term things, because they could sell it to some, you know, I'm sure Disney would pay $1-2 billion for a franchise, which would help them out greatly right now.
That'd be
but
crazy
over,
if they did the same thing for Spider-Man that they did for all the rest of Marvel, though.
I mean, it's possible.
It is possible. You're right. Like, that certainly doesn't sound out of the question. That'd just be really funny to me.
Yeah, that's
true. The problem is, you know, like over the next 10, 15, 20 years, you could have Spider-Man films. And if they had a proper game plan, like in theory, what they want to do with Spider-Man franchise could work. If their game plan made any sense whatsoever.
Or if their movies were a good bit better, actually. That would probably help, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, yes, that's always going to help. But, you know, like, having stuff like, oh, we're going to have a bunch of Spider-Man spin-off films come out in between the two Spider-Man films without any setup in the actual Spider-Man film. Well, and we won't have Spider-Man in the Sinister Six film that we haven't established. Yeah, it's really just like, put in the eggs before the cart. it's frustrating. But yeah, I mean, anything's possible in Sony. Like, at this point, Sony's probably begging Disney to give them money any way they can.
Because, I mean, crossing them over is good for Sony, because that means you get the cross-brand marketing of people will have to go to Spider-Man. So, like, okay, this is going to be important for Avengers. I guess I got to go see it now. And, I mean, any kind of cross-brand promotional thing will help them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would also say this much. I mean, I think James and I have had disagreements on it, but, I mean, I still like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, so, I mean, it's not like it's going, they can still use
him. Yeah, he's a
solid
cast choice. They just need to, remove certain producers, writers.
Yeah, I think the writers, I think one of them is gone anyhow. I mean, granted, it doesn't matter, because the next Spider-Man film isn't scheduled for another, 4 years?
Something really? Like that.
Huh. Yeah, because they pushed it back to do, like, Spider-Woman and Sinister Six and all that other stuff in between.
Wait, they pushed it back to Spider-Woman, too? I didn't know that.
We'll see.
They're spin-off movies that they have planned of some kind.
Yeah, well, when
but
they
I know
actually
about
go...
the Sinister Six ones, but...
Yeah, but they said they were pursuing a female Spider-Man film.
I hope it's
but
Spider-Gwen.
I don't...
It could be Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Man.
I think.
I would be
I don't
so
know if
excited if it was.
Yeah, see, I sort of assumed it would be Black Cat.
Yeah, I thought it would be Black Cat, too, because I think she's the more popular one. But again,
yeah,
totally.
They haven't established. It's weird that if you had. Like, I mean, it's Amazing Spider-Man 2, as cramped as it is, might as well have thrown all these things in there and then spin them off into movies.
Yeah,
instead
like,
of just.
I already felt like I was spending half the time watching, like, a slideshow of, and here's our plan for future movies. Like, that they didn't actually establish any of the people was baffling. It's like, all right, here are all the props we're having for our upcoming Sinister Six movie. What about all the people in them? Like, it's not like this movie is getting any could be hurt at this point by being longer.
Yeah, it's,
Oh, well.
It was a huge missed opportunity. So, yes.
I hope they do this, because Andrew Garfield is such a good actor, and he really does, he feels like a good fit. They just need to, you know, make a good movie to work with it.
Yeah, and I think Civil War would be a great place to introduce him, because that is I mean, at the heart of it, it's Iron Man versus Captain America, but in the middle is Spider-Man, and he's the one being drawn between, because I believe he's the only major character who switches sides in between this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyhow. And then the news that came out today, and the reason, part of the reason I wanted to do this, because it's really hard to ignore.
Yeah. Enough about the guesswork superhero news. Now for some actual concrete stuff.
Yeah. Just kind of a real quick recap. DC announced, well, Warner Brothers announced over the summer a slate of like 12 dates for the next 6-7 years. And they gave us nothing. They just said these are going to be movie properties for DC Comics and Harry Potter. And we knew what the Harry Potter stuff was. But they apparently that's a trilogy now. Or was it always a trilogy?
Yeah, it was always a trilogy.
It was always several movies, but, you know, I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're also getting 3 Eggo movies, which I'm kind of iffy on.
Yeah.
I love the Eggo movie, but I don't want them to necessarily ruin the brand. But I guess it's different because one's like the Ninjago.
That one's the only one that's different. Lego Batman's an actual spin-off of the Batman character from the Lego movie.
Oh my
God. But I mean, you could do like a proper Batman film within that, and it wouldn't be the same thing as the Lego movie.
Yeah, I guess, but it's kind of like a spin-off of the Lego movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be Will Arnett's version of Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas the Ninjago movie is based on the properties like Lego Ninjago, which already has TV movies, animated movies, all that stuff, which is totally different, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm really kind of curious.
I feel like it's going to be sort of like a Cloud with a Chance of Meatballs 2 kind of thing, where you had Lord and Miller make the sort of surprise everyone with this really, really good movie, and then the sequel just sort of exists. But it feels like it could be sort of missing the reason everyone loved it. It's like, it wasn't because you made a movie with Legos in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of... I like Ego Batman from the Ego movie, but I also don't know if I like him enough to carry an entire movie with that persona.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because it basically was just a parody of the hyper seriousness of the current Batman state and Batman fandom. So it's one that works more as a joke than it does a full movie anchor.
Yeah. So that's what I'm really curious about. But yeah, so they announced these dates, and I honestly thought they would just kind of drip feed them over the next few years. Like, okay, this is what we're doing in 2016. This is what we're doing in 2017. And today. Completely random because it was not. There was a major Comic Con this past weekend. They were like, "Oh, we're just gonna announce 10 movies," and they have dated and announced movies, directors, actors for the next 6 years, and all types of major DC Comics properties. I'm just gonna start off on the point that I found the most bizarre of the entire thing. They do not have a solo Superman or Batman film piped in yet.
I didn't even notice that. Good point, though.
Yeah, I do wonder if at least the lack of Superman is partially because the mixed reception of Man of Steel meant they're trying to sort of refocus how to make the character work with audiences.
Well, I think they said that the press release said that they're doing it. It's just not like, honestly speaking, I think this was good for them because one of the biggest criticisms that they've had over the past 20-30 years is that they focus on Superman and Batman too much. Which, right or wrong, they are the two biggest comic book characters. It makes sense that if you have money makers. But this is not Superman or Batman. There are no Superman or Batman. Okay, other than Superman versus Batman, which you know about.
Yeah, the first year is 2016. So yeah, Dawn of Justice is the first one, which we know is coming.
Yes. And the second one is not one. I knew they were making it. I would not have predicted this to be the
second. So Dawn of Justice is before all of these? So Dawn of Justice is... Oh, I see Justice League 2 there. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So the first year is Dawn of Justice and then Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, which I did not peg as your second movie.
Oh, absolutely not.
In theory, it kind of makes sense because it's a film that's so far removed.
Dawn of Justice, the Superman vs. Batman subtitle?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was the intro of the Justice League. Okay, got it.
Well, it is the intro to the Justice League.
But it's the Superman Batman movie with a couple other characters kind of thrown in there.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I mean, that name's pretty too on the nose at times.
Sure, I completely, without the Superman vs. Batman context, I completely forgot that that's what that was. Okay, cool.
Suicide Squad, like I said, not what I predicted. Right. I do like the director. They seem to have gotten a director who at least makes sense for the film.
Yeah, it's David Ayer of
Training Day.
Yeah, writer of Training Day, the first Fast and Furious. Directed End of Watch last year, and he has Fury coming out on Friday.
And, yeah, he has that really, he does kind of that down and dirty, gritty kind of cop drama. And while this is not necessarily a cop drama, it is the same type of hyper-realistic heist movie, in a sense. If they're going in the traditional direction of the Suicide Squad. And just as a brief primer for anybody who doesn't know who the Suicide Squad are, they're basically a gang of criminals who are forced to do the government's bidding.
Arrow did a good episode on them.
Yeah.
Arrow did a good episode on them. There's a good episode of them on Justice League Unlimited. They're called Task Force X. I think that's their actual name is Task Force, but they're usually just referred to as the Suicide Squad. And this past summer, they released an animated movie, Assault on Arkham, which was pretty good until it became a Batman and Joker film at the end. But that's neither here nor there. The first piece of news I heard, and the one that a lot of people head off with, is that 2017 is going to lead off with a Wonder Woman film.
Woohoo! They did it!
Yes, they did it.
They have presumably beat Marvel to the punch in having a female-led superhero movie. I don't think Marvel has anything announced past 2016 for specifically, so yeah, unless they slot into this Marvel slot like a couple weeks before, they will have the first one.
They can slot it in, but I think, and I hate this mentality, but it's going to, no matter what they do now, it's going to be seen as a kind of way to combat DC.
Yeah.
It is what it is, but yeah, it's going to be, even if they slot it in at the end of 2016 or something like that, it's going to be like, oh, you just want to get out in front of Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Bummer, actually,
it's a terrible. I'm happy, and we'll get to this in a bit later because DC announced another movie that's kind of interesting in that same regard. But it's something that people have been beating the drums about. Is like there is a diversity in these superhero films because they tend to all have white males as the lead, and Wonder Woman is the first. Wonder Woman, if it stands, will be the first female-led superhero film in 13 years.
Yeah, what was the last one? Catwoman.
I think Elektra's right.
Oh, yeah, Elektra existed, huh?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a
Catwoman? It doesn't matter. They were both 2015.
If we're going by, Hollywood superheroes, no. I guess if you wanted to, you'd have to stretch it to, Magical Girl stuff over in Japan. But, yeah, not really.
I think good. So, yeah.
No.
All right.
Yeah. All right. And I will just say this much. They haven't really set any release dates for any of these films. Like, we have release dates, and we have movies, but we don't have release dates for movies.
Yeah, we just have release years.
Yeah.
And the Harry Potter ones are lumped in there, too, I'm saying. Who's Cyborg?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay.
But yes, and then the other film of 2017 is the Justice League film.
Which, I think they have Zack Snyder locked in for both of the Justice League movies at the moment.
Snyder is directing Batman vs. Superman, Justice League, and Justice League Part 2. Based on... Well, one, at some point, something has to be filmed back-to-back. I guess
it's not as much of a problem with Justice League, because they've already been filming Dawn of Justice for a while now, so that could be partially why they started filming so early.
Are they done with Dawn of Justice?
No, they
pushed it back.
Oh.
No, it's one of the longest shooting schedules I remember in recent memory. It's been going on since May, and it ends in December.
Jeez.
Most films are maybe 3 months. But yeah, he's directing those three, which is kind of what I had an article on this months ago where I said I think that's, it makes sense as much as, Marvel doesn't, it has Kevin Feige in the background, but it doesn't have one clear director. And I think they're trying to do that. We didn't touch on this with the Captain America rumors, but there was rumors that the Russo brothers are going to direct Captain America and the new Avengers 3 and 4. And what that does, it does give you a unified vision and, style for your core films. And I guess this is going to be the core films that run throughout is Batman vs. Superman, Justice League, and then Justice League 2, which I should also note are named Part 1 and Part 2, which is kind of suspect.
I certainly hope they are... Okay, it is obviously too early to call plot-wise, but I really, really hope they don't go the awful serialization route of this is just
like
a cliffhanger and then it takes 2 years to resolve it.
I feel like if they were doing that, they would have released them 1 year after another. Like, you don't do part one and two and space them more than 1 year apart. Nobody's ever done that.
Well, no, I was going to say this looks like the Harry Potter model, which if
Harry Potter came out 1 year though, right?
No, they came out 18 months apart. One would come out in June, the other one would come out in November. One would come out in June and November.
It's not every year, is it?
And that kind of looks like what they're going for, because Batman vs. Superman's in March. If Justice League is the second movie of 2017, that would be November. And then Justice League 2 would be the June of 2019, which would roughly be about a year and a half apiece, which would also help alleviate that filming schedule. So we'll see. I mean, it would make sense. I don't want it to end. I think there's a way to do a serialized story without having everything end in a cliffhanger.
Yeah, we sort of had trouble with a lot of movies taking the really bad path of serialization, where it is just basically selling incomplete stories. And like, hey, see you next time.
Right. At least it's in based off a book, but it kind of is. But I guess they have a lot more freedom in the way they divide it up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, this is in the other show. We can talk about rumors. The rumored villain for the first Justice League film is Brainiac. And
weird.
Well, I mean, the way the rumor stated it makes sense is that everything's kind of a jumping off point for Man of Steel. The beacon he activates in Man of Steel that brings Zod to planet Earth is also what Brainiac detects, and that brings him to Earth. And my guess would be, like, once they deal with Brainiac, that brings another space deity into their atmosphere. And, you know, that would be a great film for Justice League 2. So we shall see. This is, again, kind of where it gets interesting. 2018, and this was... They announced the Flash film, which isn't a big deal. But they're also like, oh, we have a Flash character. We have an actor. Ezra Miller, who a lot of people are probably asking who.
Yeah, I guess best known are probably from We Need to Talk About Kevin and The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yes.
Definitely good young actor.
That kid.
Yeah, good actor. I don't necessarily know if he's what everybody envisions a Flash to be, but at the same time, makeup and wigs do a hell of a job. It was just really strange that, like, I don't think he's ever been rumored or even noted as being in any of these films. Because, you know, like, they had Scoot McNairy, and people were saying he might be the Flash, even though I thought that was a stupid rumor. But they're like,
I think it was mostly based on, like, the green screen stuff on his leg had on set.
Which made no sense whatsoever. I guess he had some Roadrunner eggs. I never got why you would green screen just his eggs.
Yeah, especially on, like, the actual physical, like, sets and not just on the green screen area. So it was an odd path of taking it.
Go on.
I also think Ezra Miller's The Flash might be the first time that an openly gay actor has played a superhero in a movie, so that's also a nice point to them.
Yeah, I kind of on that note.
Patrick Harris not been a superhero? I guess not. I mean, kind of. A villain, sort of.
Well, not in a live action movie.
Like, what do you consider
Dr. Horrible.
The sing-along one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even directed by the guy that did Avengers.
I consider it awesome if that counts.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't consider it a movie because it's like half an hour.
It's 90 minutes, right? By the way, 90 minutes are the best movies.
It's 45, so it's half a movie.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It's a TV episode.
It is a TV episode.
It is technically long enough to qualify for Oscars as a feature-length movie, so sure.
At 45 minutes?
Yeah, you only have to be 40 minutes to qualify as feature length. Then short film.
They should start cutting movies in half then, because the past, like, three or four movies I've seen have felt really, really long.
Yeah, that's sort of been a problem.
Gone Girl could have been 30 minutes shorter.
Yeah, okay.
People won't agree with me with that, but that's what I think.
Okay, yeah. I would say, like, 99% of blockbusters that come out nowadays are all at least 10 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Because they always need to leave you with that cliffhanger for the next movie that may or may not come.
Just in case.
I should really keep track of those. I do love watching a movie that ends with a cliffhanger and there's no chance of it ever getting
a sequel. That should be a podcast.
that could be unresolved cliffhanger movies. Like, I know Nightbreed is one of those, so let's put a pin in this.
Sounds all right.
Okay, we'll put a pin in it. The other film they announced in 2018 was Aquaman.
Woohoo!
Now, Aquaman is such an interesting character.
James, you're the only one that woohooed for that, like, in the entire world.
Yeah, I was about to say, because that's the reaction. Half the people are, you remember him from being a joke from Super Friends. The other half are really excited because they know what a badass character he can be. Not necessarily the character he is, but what he can be.
But is that enough people to put butts in seats in a movie theater?
If you market it right, you can put butts in seats for anything.
I guess. I guess after, like, Suicide Squad, because nobody's heard of that either in the general population.
Yeah.
But after
theoretically,
Superman
after,
and Wonder Woman.
Well, I mean, here's the weird, like, people know Aquaman. I think Aquaman's one of those characters who have crossed over to the mainstream. The problem is that he's crossed over in a way that he tends to be the butt of most people's jokes.
Yeah,
like the only cultural...
Oh, definitely.
The only real cultural noteworthiness is for, the Super Friends.
Yeah, and that's for talking to fishes and only being useful near the water. And it's a very hard...
And even Super Friends isn't, like, mainstream culture, I would say.
Oh, it's mainstream culture to a generation.
Okay.
Like, you could probably ask people from the 70s and 80s, and they would probably, you know, like, that is this.
But that's not who they're targeting with these movies, right?
Well, I mean, it's the people, like, that is, I mean, because people from our generation would probably know him more from, like, Justice League and Superman.
And Goldeneye.
And also, I would guess maybe Brave and the Bold if you want to get that cross section.
Yeah,
but
probably.
Again, that's a very different.
You're still not talking about the main. I'm talking about the people that go to see Avengers that don't care about comic book here.
Oh yeah, and to them, Aquaman, whenever Aquaman's brought up, he's a joke, and that's the stigma that has been associated with him in the mainstream. From Super Friends, because people who grew up on Super Friends make those jokes. The same reason that people make jokes about Wonder Woman's invisible jet.
That's fair.
Even though she hasn't used it in decades in the comics, I think. Because she can fly. I never got the jet.
Like, looking at this, Aquaman, Shazam, and Cyborg will be a stretch. Like, granted, Guardians of the Galaxy proved that Disney can do that, or that Marvel can do that. I don't know if, especially after the past few DC movies have gone.
Shazam won't be a stretch because it has The Rock.
Oh.
And The Rock has star power.
Oh, yes. Okay, that'll do it.
So, that won't be a problem. I was actually surprised this film so far down the road, though, because they announced The Rock casting this past summer for a film that's not out for another 5 years.
But wasn't he cast as the villain, not actually Shazam?
So, are all these cast, by the way? Question?
No,
not
they weren't cast.
Okay.
They,
I was wondering who the Green Lantern was, but I guess they haven't said that.
They confirmed who Aquaman was, even
though
isn't
it Jason Momoa?
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah. The worst kept secret in the industry.
People to,
Well, I think, I mean, this may or may not work. It really depends on the quality of the films that preceded.
Sure.
But they do have the benefit of being introduced in Batman versus Superman and Justice League.
That's true.
So they're doing the opposite of, well, I guess what people wanted Marvel to do with the Hulk, where a lot of people love Hulk from the Avengers and wanted that guy in a film, and not necessarily the Hulk before the Avengers, who nobody went to see.
Right.
So they're hoping that these characters...
So is Suicide Squad the toughest time they're going to have selling a movie?
Probably.
I think Suicide Squad in general is a tough sell. I assume, I mean, if they want to do it well, it's probably going to be rated R.
They did it really well in Arrow, but that's because it was over the course of, like, a season or two? Question.
One episode, though, right? Like, really?
No, but they introduced the villains throughout the first two seasons.
Which was really cool. Because it's like you kind of just see the pieces of it, and even if you're not a big comic fan or a DC fan, you're just kind of like, oh, that's a character. And then it kind of adds up to an episode, which is cool.
Yeah, Suicide Squad, I think, might have to depend on being a more mid-budgeted thing, so not like a big $100 million. Maybe something more in like the $60 to $80 million range.
But it also depends, because the rumor of who they're trying to get to cast in that film is just insane right now.
Characters or actors?
Actors. I mean, I'm assuming this is really a stretch, but I think it was Ryan Gosling, it was Will Smith, it was Tom Hardy.
Ryan Gosling's kind of cheap now, right?
But he hasn't done franchise movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think might have probably been what stopped Joaquin Phoenix from joining us, just because he's more he has other things on his mind in terms of his career. Sort of the same reason, like, we're probably not going to see a Jake Gyllenhaal in here anytime soon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
But I mean, if
the Reynolds, though, am I right?
Yeah,
I'll laugh so hard if they put him as Green Lantern again in 2020.
I
want to break it up, just like they did with Hulk and Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, The other problem I would see with the Suicide Squad film is necessarily the characters they put in it. Because it is a group of villains, which is kind of neat, but they don't tend to... It's not going to be like the Joker and the X-Youth that team it up.
Yeah. How did the Punisher movies
even
do?
Like the Sinister Six.
In the box office?
Not well.
Okay. Well.
So, yeah, it's either... So, I mean, ideally you would get maybe Deathstroke. I think he has some cloth from Arrow. You'd bet Harley Quinn because she's one of DC's most popular females and she is part of the team. And then everybody else, like the core team members are kind of goofy. You get Captain Boomerang.
So good question. Does it matter who's actually part of the team in the comics, or can they just take their best villains and throw them in the thing, call it the Suicide Squad, and still have it work?
I assume they could, but I wouldn't take your best villains because you want to use them in the actual film.
Oh, sure.
Like, you wouldn't take the Joker, you wouldn't take Lex Luthor and stuff like that. Especially being that they are named the Suicide Squad, and part of the reason for that is because they tend to die. there tends to be about maybe 6 to 7 members, and about 3 of them survive.
That makes sense with the name Suicide Squad, I suppose.
So it's going to be an interesting... Like, really, what they need to do is find 3 core villains to make the team... And then have like three or four people who are going to die, a KG Beast or a Serpent or Bronze Tiger, or, you know, they have a lot of goofy villains they can use to fill in the plot. So yeah, we shall see. I was going to say about Aquaman, one, it means that I get to see my great, great Queen Mara on screen. The other thing is, like we said with Jason Momoa, I believe he is Samoan.
He's Momoan. Nah, that's going to be my last comment. This
I was
month.
About to say, Dan, you have to leave now. That pun was so bad. We're kicking you out.
It was worth it.
It's been fun. Good luck. I'll miss you all.
Goodbye. But yes, so he would also...
Before I can tell you, he's of Native Hawaiian descent.
Yeah, which is Samoan. I don't know why, but I'm not getting into that. Which would also make him another non-white...
By a technicality, yes.
But, I mean, they don't consider themselves white.
Right.
Even though he's, you know, whatever. Shazam, we already mentioned, is the film of 2019, and Justice League 2 we kind of talked about.
Yeah, The Rock is playing the Black Adam, right? Okay.
Yes.
That's surprising. Okay. I just personally feel like he'd be a great fit for Shazam. Like, if I were to imagine what would a kid be like in a superhero's body, I'd be like, probably like The Rock.
Yeah, that's exactly my thinking as well. And they want to get, who is the director? The guy who's directing, he's working on him now on some film.
That's vague.
So, never mind, y'all are looking something up. Cyborg is.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah,
so we're approaching on an hour, so we should pretty soon.
Well, Cyborg is an interesting choice. Not my first choice. Really, you probably chose it to my ass choice. Cyborg is a African-American character that DC has been trying to make happen
for the past.
Teen
Titans guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And
I've
they have
seen
tried...
an adult version of him in anything.
Well, he's not an adult. That's one of the things. He isn't... they're trying to get Brad Payton. That's his name.
For Cyborg.
For Shazam.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Cyborg is he's supposed to be like your gateway character. He's supposed to be the character you relate to because he is a teenager. Or not necessarily a teenager, he's the youngest member of the team, traditionally right now, because Shazam is also younger, but he's also kind of weird because he's an adult. He's a kid in an adult's body, so he's treated older, and as you know, his secret identity. It's weird in the sense that, as far as I know, he has never had a solo comic book series. He's never been a solo player. He's always been part of the team, either the Titans or Justice League now. And it's pretty strange that they've given him a solo film. It's also stranger that he's getting it with an unknown actor. The actor who's playing him is Ray Fisher, who, as far as I know, has never done anything for movie or TV. He's a stage actor.
And I mean, I guess by then, they're hoping they have the Marvel clout, so it could just kind of release whatever they want. Maybe it is their test case. Maybe that's their Guardians of the Galaxy, basically.
Well, I would imagine that's the Suicide Squad, and honestly, I think that's one of the reasons that film has got fast-tracked, is because,
it's also a good point.
Rebels who break out of prison and work together for the greater good. Yeah, it's very similar in concept. But, yes, I mean, like you said, at that point, he should be... We know he has a cameo role in Batman versus Superman. He's probably going to be a part of the team in Justice League and Justice League 2. So at that point, you have seen him in three films. It is still weird to give him his own solo film. Because, like I said, he's never had a comic book on his own, which also means he has no type of supporting cast. He has no, Rogues Gallery. He has no, best friend. He has, no mentor. It's just him.
So, did you say there were going to be Batman and Superman movies that aren't on this list yet, or are they really doing a Ben Affleck standalone Batman movie?
I mean, they could probably do it at the end of the slate, which a lot of people pointed out would also mean that Ben Affleck is 50. But they, let me see if I can find a press release. I believe they says that these are 10 DC comic films that are in production, withstanding a Batman and Superman solo adventure.
Oh, okay.
So I assume that they probably want to wait and see, and maybe okay, if these aren't performing, we can plug Superman or Batman into 2018, or we can plug them into 2019. The problem I see looking at the schedule right now is that I don't know when they would fit it in as far as the actor schedule go, because Cavill and Affleck have films in 2016, 2017, and 2019 with these three. Affleck, on his own, probably has a much more interesting career outside of this franchise now, between being a director and an actor. So I assume he doesn't, it's his whole time's not going to be devoted to these franchises.
Right.
So I don't know when they would have time to film it. It's the same reason.
What if they're doing it right now?
How?
I don't know. That's why shooting on Batman vs. Superman's taking so long. It's all a secret.
Yeah, but, I don't think he's going to get Zack. Maybe he wants to, but I can't imagine Zack Snyder's directing four films at once.
I'll do money. Money talks.
Yes, but you have to edit
the films. I have to mess up at this point, I know. Yeah.
Okay. I found the press release, so this is their official quote.
Right.
And in a massive expansion of the studio's DC Entertainment branded content, Warner Brothers Pictures and New Line Cinema will release a slate of at least 10 movies, as well as standalone Batman and Superman films from 2016 through 2020 that expands this prized universe of characters. So it sounds like they have films for those two in there somewhere. They just didn't announce it yet.
Okay.
Maybe
they deserve a bigger announcement, too.
Yeah, and to kind of expand on that point, there are also films that DC hasn't announced yet that are in the works. We know that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is attached to Sandman. Oh. We've known that for about the end of last year. There's been rumors of a Lobo film. There's been rumors of a Metal Men film. So they have projects in the pipeline, but maybe they aren't part of the core DC film, because Sandman isn't really part of DC. He's part of DC, but not he's never really part of the core story.
So I only know Sandman from the Spider-Man movie.
No, it's not the Sandman.
Okay.
It's the Sandman you typically think of when you think of Sandman.
Sleep. Okay, got it.
Yeah. yes. That's that. I think, a lot of people, it's a very aggressive set of films. It's a very diverse set of films. It is also a very troubling set of films. Because, unlike Marvel, this all kind of hinges on one film. If Batman vs. Superman does not live up to people's expectation, this whole thing falls apart. Because that is the launching pad.
Yes.
This is the launching pad for all these films.
Didn't a ton of people see the first one, though?
Well, I mean,
a ton of people won't see the first Superman movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying that people won't see it, but you have people if you ask people about Man of Steel, half the people will tell you they absolutely hate the film. And I think people are giving this the benefit of the doubt because it's Batman and Superman for the first time. But if they come out of this disappointed, I don't necessarily think you're going to get them back for Justice League or get them back for Wonder Woman, because at that point your trust in DC is kind of in shot.
Okay.
where, like, you know, Marvel...
Well, I think it's you and me right now just holding down this podcast.
Oh, where did James go? Okay.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Everywhere at once. But yeah, if you... Because if they crap the bed, like, I mean, Marvel had some questionable movies in the first phase, but everything was leading up to the Avengers, and you wanted to see that. Because if you compare the gross of, like, Thor and Captain America to Avengers, there was a wide berth of people who never saw those films compared to who saw the Avengers. And this is the opposite.
Or even Iron Man 2, for example.
Yeah. And this is kind of the opposite, where they're starting with the Avengers and they're going to break it out. So if people don't like their Avengers like type film, why would you go see Solo Adventures? So yeah, it hinges on that. I mean, on the bright side, you know, the people have issues with Man of Steel, where we won't get into that. But I do think one of the biggest problems with Man of Steel is gone with David Goyer no longer writing the script.
Woohoo!
And I think Zack Snyder is a really... Okay, I'm not going to say
like
that.
Him.
I'm not that
like
desperate.
He has a lot of raw skill. He just needs the right like producer and writer in order to direct him in the right way.
He made one of my top five movies of all time, which is...
Watchmen, I'm guessing?
No, actually. The Dawn of the Dead remake is one of my favorite movies ever.
Oh, okay. That's probably my favorite movie of his.
Yeah, I think to James' point, I think that's, you know, if he has the material, he can film it well. He can film action well. He has an energy about him.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say his films look dull, but I'm not going to say he's like a world-class director. It's
300
like,
is a coming-of-age movie, so.
Yeah, what is the expression? If it's not on the page, it's not on the stage, and that's kind of his directing style. If it's not in the script, it's probably not something he's going to come up with.
Okay.
Yeah, you need someone to point him in the right direction tone-wise in order to make it work. So
yeah, yes, and because I mean Zack Snyder is basically a dude bro with a camera, which isn't a bad thing, but he doesn't. It's like he just makes stuff that looks cool. Which is awesome for a film if you can get everything to your cool and make sense and be coherent.
And make people care about the people doing the cool stuff.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the big things that Ben Affleck brought to this film. And it's really weird to think about the fact that you're hanging your hopes on Ben Affleck to make a movie great, a superhero movie great after Daredevil. But
yeah. He's had a hell of a decade in between then, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Argo's a fantastic movie. I hate when people try to talk. I wasn't huge on The Town, but it is.
I know people like it.
Yeah, I like The Town quite a bit. I haven't seen Gone Baby Gone yet, though. But yeah, he's a really solid director.
Gone Girl or a different one?
No, Gone Baby Gone. That was his 2007 Boston Cry movie.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, like, we have a director who can direct well. We have somebody who cares about characters and motivation. And we have an Oscar award-winning writer.
Yeah,
because
he brought Chris Terrio over here. And is he attached to the Justice League movie as well?
I believe that's the rumor.
I'm
is that
to
he, turned
they
in his draft, he turned in his draft for Justice League, which is the one with the Brainiac. So, again, I would imagine that would be their new golden team. Is like, Snyder, Terrio, and Affleck. Are kind of the writer, director, producer type deal. I think Christopher Nolan is still attached as producer, but they don't mention that.
Yeah, that's basically they keep him on to keep good, so he'll make his other movies at this point.
Yeah.
Which is probably for the best.
Just as an aside...
I'd like to come back and do the new Superman movies, I'm fine with that.
Well, I don't think... Yeah. I mean, just as an aside, kind of to put a stamp on all it is, somebody did kind of put together a list of the superhero movies coming out over the next 6 years, and I believe 2017 and 2018 are insane.
I thought you said there are 27 or 28 movies, but
one of those is one of the ones that has the new next X-Men, right? Because that's 2016.
That's 2016, right? Yes.
Read the list to us. I'm ready.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think it's like Cap 3, Guardians 2, the two DC movies, and then X-Men. I think the next Apes movie comes out.
Okay. Just as an overhead, there are currently I think 30 of these films in production
in the next,
over
like,
the 6 years.
Okay.
Yes. And I mean, technically, I would even go with five, because none of these are at the end of this year. It's all from 2015 to 2020.
So it's like six movies a year, basically.
Well, that's the funny thing, because next year there's three. The year after there's I think there's six. And then, like I said, 2017 and 2018 is really when it kind of picks up. Just kind of running through this really quick. I'm not going to do the dates and all that other stuff. That's it. Avengers Age of Ultron, Fantastic Four, Ant-Man on next year. 2016 is Batman vs. Superman, Captain America 3, X-Men Apocalypse, Untitled Marvel Film, Suicide Squad, Sinister Six. 2017 is The Wolverine 2, another Untitled Marvel
Wolverine
film.
Wolverine 4? 3 at this point? 3?
The sequel to the really good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're not counting Wolverine Origins? That's funny.
Yeah. Nobody counts
the best.
Wolverine. That's still funny.
Yes, so Wolverine 2, Untitled Marvel film, Wonder Woman, Fantastic Four 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Untitled Marvel film.
I love all the twos that Marvel keeps using, because this is Fantastic Four 4 at this point, and I know reboots count, but it's still funny to me. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Justice League, Amazing Spider-Man female film. 2018 is The Flash. Untitled Marvel film, Untitled Marvel film, Untitled Fox film. A lot of people have just put dates down.
What else does Fox have other than X-Men?
Or are they X-Men spinoffs. Yeah.
Okay.
Unlike Spider-Man, X-Men makes a lot more sense to spin off.
So is the X-Men spinoff the Mystique movie?
Well, no, you could do...
I don't think they're going to get Jennifer Lawrence back, because I think they barely got her back for Days of Future Past, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. That's the beauty with the X-Men. Unlike Spider-Man, it's a much richer universe to spin off, because you can do X-Men, you can do X-Force, you can do X-Squad, they can do time travel again. They could have, like, a Cyclops solo film or a Storm. Like, there's enough characters there that it doesn't have... You know, they can do a Charles and Eric buddy cop film, which I guess technically was First Class.
Yeah.
They can do a lot of stuff with it. So, you know, they could do... I assume it's probably going to be like a... I think they've always wanted to do like a Magneto solo film. I don't know if that's needed after First Class, though.
Yeah, I thought it sort of became First Class.
Yeah, so... But yeah, it's a universe that's kind of rich for...
So we specifically have three different companies making their own, like, superhero movie universe films?
Four.
Yes. Who's the fourth?
Well, Warner, Marvel, Fox, and Sony.
Right. But they don't have a universe. They just have Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, they are trying to make a universe out of that. And that's only counting the superheroes and not counting everybody else who's trying to do that. Because I think Legendary's trying to do that with their monster films. And are they also the ones trying to do that with the other monster films? I hate monsters such a...
I don't know.
But you mean like Universal's trying to sort of bring back their old horror verse that they had before.
Which is, I mean, like people forget that the Marvel model is kind of an older model that Hollywood used to use. They don't do it anymore. Like, I used to watch Cinemassacre, and anytime he met, like, Lon Chaney was like in every other film in the 30s and 40s. Yeah, so where was I? Oh, okay, so 2018 is The Flash, Marvel, Fox, Aquaman, Marvel, Amazing Spider-Man 3. 2019 is Shazam, Marvel, Justice League, Amazing Spider-Man, Venom, Carnage, which we didn't talk about. We're not going to talk about.
I don't want to talk about Venom or Carnage.
Yes, I don't know Venom, Carnage. I don't know. And then 2020, Cyborgs and Green Lantern. So, yes, over the next 5 years, there are 30 comic book films in... Okay.
30 superhero films.
I will be 29 by the time that... I'll be almost 30 by the time this list is done. That's just a weird thing to think about.
Well, I won't even mention how...
No, I know, but I just mean, like, how old you will be by the time...
There will be a long stretch of time that we know in the future.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to think about. I mean, I don't have my Christmas planned out, but I know my superhero schedule through 2020 right now. I was gonna say even superheroes.
Wait, how much? If I see all those movies in theaters at $15 a ticket, that's a
holy shit. Where are you spending $15 on a ticket?
I mean, that's
everywhere.
Yeah, that's not in college. That's Houston prices. It's $10 to $15, but we'll say 10.
Yeah, but even when I'm back in Huntsville, the most I've ever paid was like maybe $9, and that was a weekend evening showing.
Do you live in a smaller town? Where you live?
No, I live in Huntsville. It's like an actual sizable town.
Yeah, I pay, I think right now I pay $14.50 for a movie ticket. IMAX is, I think, 21 and 3.
I mean, Earl is in New York, so that's like is expensive.
I guess so.
Yeah, I can't imagine what ticket prices are going to be like in 2020, which is why I try to get my movies for free.
Yep, Earl, that's $430 on just movie tickets.
Or maybe I'll try one of those. I'm surprised James doesn't have one, or maybe his town doesn't offer one. That
I think it's just being in the middle of nowhere. I don't have much of the way.
I don't know,
because there are a couple things where I just drive to another town.
Wrap up this podcast, and I'll ask you when a movie passes.
Okay. But yeah, just to kind of wrap, like you said, you have 30 superhero films from Marvel and DC. This isn't counting the other companies. There are other brands being kind of curated and picked apart for films. And we have other comic book films coming. Like we have next year, I know we have this Secret Service, which is like the Kingsman story. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of other ones in productions.
Yeah,
so
it's not counting whatever indie stuff will come along, like your Blue in the Warmest Colors or your Snowpiercers.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking about possible saturation. It can happen. I mean, anything's possible. This can crash and burn. But I am going to ride this ship until it does.
If one burns, do you think the other one does too?
No, I think if anything, they'll just pull them out. Like, if anything...
If all the DC movies start crashing, does that hurt Marvel as well?
It doesn't hurt. It won't hurt Marvel. What you're going to see is kind of they're going to go back to more consolidated, where you'll probably just get like Iron Man and, you know, Captain America, Batman, Superman. The big brands. Like, you won't get these obscure ones anymore.
Gotcha.
But I don't. You know, I think if anything, if DC crashes and burns, that only helps Marvel, because it becomes your go-to. I mean, I also wonder, because I've heard people have this discussion. Most people don't care or don't know who's Marvel or DC.
That's a good point.
Like, we do, you know, we break it down. Like, I assume most people, like, people know Spider-Man's Marvel. They don't know that he's not owned by Marvel. Like, as far as the movies go, it's whatever. You see the Marvel logo in front of it. People don't care. Just as a mini rant, I hate the fact that everybody assumes that if you're not a nerd, you're a mouth breather who knows nothing. Because one of the things that came out today is, like, people are going to be confused that there's two Flashes. Even though a general audience has accepted time travel this past year. Right. They've accepted 3 different Hulks in the past decade. They've accepted 6 Batmans. We had Tom Williams and Brendan Routh as Superman at one point.
Yeah, like, what, 4 or 5 different Supermans if you count TV as well?
We're on the 6th James Bond.
Yeah, so I don't know why people assume that the general audience are just like these...
I can't remember.
12 and a half.
Yeah,
if you want to count 4 doctors, that's kind of cheating.
That's not
but yes.
Audiences,
but yes, I hate that nerds just assume that people are like these mouth breathers who need everything told to them. It's really stupid. It pisses me off because it's so... Like, people aren't dumb, and even if they are, they don't need to know. Like, people aren't going to be like, hey, that's not the Flash from the TV show. I'm not going to watch this movie. Anyhow, that was my mini rant because nerds pissed me off today, which is another subject
nerds
for another
me off
day.
In general, new podcast.
Oh,
yep.
They do in general, but it was a combination of this and a combination of Stop Gamergate stuff at once. So
we found a subject for a future podcast.
Never, ever. Anyhow, for Dan who stepped out, for Sam, James, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 191.
All right.
Yes, this is real music. Dark, brooding, important, groundbreaking. Check out the lyrics. Darkness. No parents. Continued darkness. More darkness. Get it? The opposite of light. Black hole. Drawn in the basement, middle of the night, blacked out windows, other places that are dark, black suit, black coffee, you get it, that's just the first verse, darkness. Super rich, kinda makes it better.